Thanks, Josh, for reading and sharing for us. It's great to see you all at church this morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I will be speaking from that passage that we just read. If you asked me who are the most blessed people in Australia, I was kind of thinking to myself, being part of a country that has won so many gold medals is pretty good, I think. Like, there's a bit of national pride there, and we feel pretty blessed to have done that, even though I did absolutely nothing to help my country achieve those gold medals, besides pay my taxes. And the other thing I was thinking of as well is that it's kind of hard to avoid for our family the fact that selective school test results are coming out, and so favourable results there might be considered a blessing as well. Or is it? Because we're going to be looking at what Jesus considers to be blessing from our passage today. We're going to see what Jesus says about blessing and why Jesus' view of blessing is so good. And what I hope is that it shapes our eyes and our minds and our hearts to want true blessing, the kinds of things that God considers a blessing. And so please let me pray before we head into God's word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, you promised the patriarch Abraham thousands of years ago in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Lord, we thank you that we can see this happen in Abraham's distant descendant in Jesus. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' teaching and life that you will challenge and shape and change our views of blessing so that we can walk closer to you and help others to be truly blessed. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who do you think are the people who are blessed in our world? Who are the people who are living the good life? Who are the people who you look at and you kind of think to yourself, I wish I had what they had? Is blessing winning an Olympic gold medal? Is it being able to buy and pay off a property in Sydney? Is it having a huge mobile phone or going on lots of overseas holidays for long periods of time? Or is it having a happy family and good and healthy relationships? When it comes to the Bible, whenever you see the word blessed in the Bible, the word means a combination of things like happiness, good luck, and privilege, receiving special favor from God. And I think I can sum this up in the idea that blessing is your answer to the question, what would I need to have for me to think God must really love me? Some people might say money. Some people might say honor or prestige. Some people might say those healthy relationships. But in this very short passage of the Bible, we are going to learn how Jesus sees blessing. And what I hope that you see is that Jesus' picture of blessing is fairer and more joyous than any other view of what it means to be blessed. Now, we've been going through Luke's gospel over the past few weeks. We have seen Jesus do a lot of things that would lead a lot of people to call him blessed. He has miraculously healed the sick. He has taught with amazing wisdom, and we saw last week his amazing spiritual power and authority that protects his people from evil spirits and demons. And so it's not super surprising that after casting out a demon from someone, we saw that last week, that after that he would get a response like our passage today, verse 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." You know, the logic here in this woman's mind seems to be that behind every good man is a good woman. This woman seems to be saying to Jesus, "You very good boy, you must have such good mum." And even though it seems like a pretty harmless thing for this woman to say, a very polite thing, Jesus thinks it's actually important enough to correct this woman. He doesn't want her to get away with saying that. And he says in verse 28, "Blessed rather." And the word "rather" there is a strong contrast. Jesus is saying, on the contrary, or he's saying, you're wrong. And he says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus is saying here that when it comes to God, he has a very different view of blessing from our world. And I want to show you three ways in which God's idea of blessing is different. Jesus says blessing is not about your family, it's about you. It's not about what was done, but about what you're doing. and blessing is not fixed, but fluid. And so firstly, blessing is not about your family. It's about you. You know, what this woman said in our passage today, it wouldn't be out of place in Asian culture, would it? You know, when a kid does really well in school or in music or in sport, the kid is usually a little bit proud. But who is even more proud? It's the parents, isn't it? As if they don't like looking pretty good as well. Often in our world, blessing is a matter of what family you belong to, who you are related to, gives you advantages in life. And this is not just an Asian thing. This is in all cultures, isn't it? You've got Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee in the film industry. You've got Lachlan Murdoch, the son of Rupert Murdoch. James Packer, the son of Kerry Packer, who are in business. You've got Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, in the Christian circuit. Now, no doubt, there has to be some talent there, some ability for all these people. But I think it's also fair to say that their family has given them a significant advantage, a significant blessing over others. And even if you're not famous, family matters. Family means reputation. It means contacts. It means wealth. It means inheritances. We talk about nepo babies when it comes to getting jobs. You know, you can't avoid that. But there's also a little bit of unfairness to that, isn't there? Especially if you do not have those privileges. Jesus says when it comes to true blessing, when it comes to blessing with God, family doesn't matter. Blessing is not about your family's achievements. It's about yours. It's about whether you are hearing the word of God and keeping it, not about whether your family is. Family is not an advantage here. There's an old Christian saying that goes, God has children, but God has no grandchildren. You know, the idea there is that you can't inherit Christian faith. If you believe in Jesus and live God's way, you are his child, but you never get in just because your parents do. God has children. He doesn't have grandchildren. And this means that when it comes to God, we cannot rely on our family connections. We don't get to say to God, well, my family are churchgoers, or my parents took me to church as a kid, or my parents got me baptized. And it doesn't go the other way either. We don't get to say, I sent my kids to Sunday school, or my kids turned out Christians, so that means that God must love me. No, you know, that is not true. None of that affects us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We all face God ourselves. Your blessing isn't about your family. It's about you. The second thing that Jesus' words reveal about blessing is that blessing isn't about what was done. It's about what you're doing. Notice that the woman's words about blessing, they're all past tense. It's bore, not bearing. It is nursed, not nursing. The idea here is that blessing was earned somewhere in the past. Something in the past set Jesus up for the good life. But Jesus' words about blessing are not past tense. They're present tense. He says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. But a better translation would actually be, blessed rather are those who are hearing the word of God and keeping it. The idea is that you're doing this now. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you've done. Sorry, it's not about what you've done, but what you're doing. It's about your present, not your past. You know, in our world, it is possible to have just one fortunate event in your past that sets you up for the rest of your life, isn't there? Maybe you got into the right investment at the right time and you got out of it at the right time as well. You know, whether it was mining or Bitcoin or GameStop or whatever it was. Or maybe you did one heroic thing in your life that will stick with you forever. Or one big and lucky achievement that gets you the book deals and the speaking engagements. And the opposite is true as well. You know, maybe you just had one big mistake in your life that has had repercussions for everything. A bad relationship, a bad career decision, a bad friend, a bad experience. In our world, our past can raise us or it can ruin us. But Jesus says here that's not the case with God. with God, we are not defined by our past. Our past doesn't matter when it comes to blessing from God. It's not about what you did or what was done to you. It's about what you choose to do now. The Australian athlete Stephen Bradbury is famous for winning gold in speed skating at the 2002 Winter Olympics. He was coming last in the race until an accident caused every single competitor in front of him to crash and fall. He was so far behind that he avoided all this, and he just cruised past the rest of them to win the gold medal. Everyone knows him for this. This is his entire identity and almost his entire career now. And it would be really easy for him to just ride that for the rest of his life. But I learned recently that last year, Stephen Bradbury saved the lives of four teenagers who were drowning in a rip off the coast of Queensland. He went out, took one back, went out, took another one back, went back and forth, saved all their lives. And you kind of think to yourself, I would much rather remember him for that thing than the previous thing. No, don't rest on your laurels. Whatever achievements you have gained, keep on trying to achieve. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, Paul writes how forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Christians are people who never rest on their past, right? They don't talk about the good old days as if that is all that defines them, because they know that blessing is not about whether they've heard and kept God's word in the past. It's about whether they are hearing and keeping God's word now. And this is great news for all of us, whatever your past is. You know, if your past is full of victories and triumphs of following Jesus, if it's full of achievements, then Jesus' words here will drive you to do this more and more. Keep on going. Keep on running the race. Keep on hearing and keeping God's word. But if you're the opposite, if your past has shameful things in it, if you have things in your past that you'd rather people not know, then Jesus' words here are like, look, none of that matters to God. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what was done to you. God will not hold that against you. He has forgiven you of all of that in Christ Jesus. All that matters is what you're going to do now. And right now, you can get right with God by committing to hear and obey his word. Because with God, blessing is not about what was done, but about what you're doing. And then thirdly, blessing is not fixed, but fluid. See, for the woman's statement in verse 27, blessing is tied up in birth. There's some sort of magic milk or magic womb there that's kind of worked in Jesus. Jesus' fate, his destiny, was set from his birth. And it's often the same in our world, isn't it? Blessing is often fixed. In our world, being blessed, having good things, often comes down to things that we can't change. There are some people who just happen to win the genetic lottery. You know, they're just born with that combination of smarts and looks and fitness and social skills and family connections. And they do well at everything, almost regardless of what they do and how hard they work. Well, other people are locked out of that. And that leaves a lot of other people jealous and resentful and hopeless. They think to themselves, they have what I can never have. Some cultures and religions have a caste system where you're born into a particular class and that is your destiny. You know, you're born as a priest or a warrior or a craftsperson or a servant or the lowest caste, the untouchables. And wherever you're born, you're stuck there for the rest of your life. You can't move from one to another. That's your destiny. And that sounds pretty cruel, but as if Western society doesn't have a bit of a caste system of its own. You know, don't we also have limited opportunities based upon the circumstances of our birth? Jesus doesn't operate like that. If blessing is about hearing the word of God and keeping it, well, anyone can do that. Anyone can be blessed, and anyone can get more blessing by hearing and keeping more of God's word. There is nothing that gives you an advantage with this. I have met Christians of all stripes in my walk with Jesus. Different levels of wealth, levels of intellect, levels of physical health, different races and cultures and upbringings. And I haven't done a scientific study, right? But in my experience, none of those birth factors are reliable indicators of how godly and Christian a person is going to be. People who are very clever and wealthy can either be generous and content or greedy and entitled. People who are on the opposite end, people in poverty, can be loving and faithful, or they can be nasty and mean. There is no special virtue attached to any life situation. No culture has a monopoly either on goodness or on nastiness. And that fits with what Jesus says, that blessing is not fixed, but fluid. And so we've seen that when it comes to God, God is not impressed with our family background or our exam results or our salary or our net worth or how many friends we have. He does not reward any of those things. The blessed life is not found in those things. Jesus speaks to the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, and he says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." And Jesus says also in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Right? Your status in this world is no indicator of whether you are blessed by God. You get true blessing. You get the truly good life by hearing the word of God and keeping it. You go after the world, you lose your soul and the world. You go after your soul, you get your soul and you get the world as well. And this way to blessing is fair. It is available to everyone. It is achievable by anyone. It is not linked to birth or wealth or history. And I think there are a few things that we can take away from this. The first thing that I think I should say with a passage like this is how we treat the mother of Jesus. There are strands of Christianity, most of all the Catholic Church, that really elevate Mary. They talk about things like how she was sinless, how she remained a virgin even after giving birth to Jesus, and how she cooperates with Jesus in saving people from their sins. None of this is in the Bible, by the way. And on the contrary, a passage like this says that there is nothing especially blessed about being Jesus' mother. She is not to be venerated or worshipped by God's people. If Mary was super important, and the woman in this passage said, you know, "Blessed is the womb that bore you," well, you would expect Jesus to say, you know, "Yes, I agree. You're right, right? You said the right thing." But he doesn't say that. He said, "Blessed rather are other people." And so if we see Mary in heaven, and I think we probably will, it won't be because she got the inside track by being the mother of Jesus. It'll be because she heard the word of God and kept it. Right? There is some special honour in being the mother of Jesus, but it doesn't mean that we worship her. But I think more practically for us, I want to leave you with two things. The blessing you see is the blessing you chase, and the blessing you see is the blessing you spread. And so firstly, the blessing you see is the blessing you chase. All of us are people who chase after blessing of some kind or another. Whatever you are chasing after, that is your view of blessing. If you think blessing is about relationships or career or possessions or respect, that's what you are going to direct your energies to in your life. But if you think blessing is about hearing the word of God and keeping it, well, that's what you're going to chase. And can I encourage you to chase that? To fight so that the word of God has that prime place in your life. Now, that is the reason why we do most of what we do at this church, the reason why we have things like Sunday service, midweek growth groups, one-to-ones, church camp. We do all these things to make it easier for people to hear the word in all sorts of different ways from all sorts of different people. And God willing, the more you hear the word, the more you keep it as well. Jesus says that is true blessing. Can I encourage you to chase true blessing? And then secondly, the blessing you see is the blessing you spread. If you think blessing is tied up with the things of this world, then you're always going to be looking out at other people and you're going to be thinking to yourself, man, you know, everyone else has so much. I need more. I need to have what they have. You will be discontent and envious and spiteful. But if you think blessing is about where you stand with God, if you think blessing is as accessible as opening up your Bible with fellow Christians or by yourself, then when you look out at the world, you are going to think, man, everyone else is so poor. They don't have God. And I am so rich. And that'll change the way that you act towards people. You will be compassionate towards them. You'll want to share the blessing that you have. And some people won't be looking for it. They won't accept it. That's fine. But some people will be looking for it. And you will find them. And they will be blessed too. The blessing you see is the blessing you spread. So who do you think are the people who are blessed in our world? Who do you think has the good life? Who do you think are the people who should say to themselves, God must really like me? Well, Jesus says here that, funnily enough, it's us. We are the ones who hear the word of God and keep it. And that means that we are the ones who are blessed. And this is the kind of blessing that we should be chasing and sharing. If you are here and you are not a Christian, then I hope that you have heard today that you can be blessed by God too. It doesn't matter what family you've come from. It doesn't matter what your past is like or what your background history is. All you have to do is hear God's word and keep it. And this is what we do every week here at church, and you are more than welcome to join us. For Christians, can I encourage you to chase and share this true blessing more than you chase and share the other blessings of this world, and to have your eyes and your heart and your mind shaped by this view of blessing? There's an old prayer called the Soldier's Prayer from America, which speaks of blessing, and it goes like this. It goes, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might humbly learn to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Can you say that you are richly blessed? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing that comes from hearing your word and keeping it. Thank you that in your word we see your love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and brought us back to you. Thank you that we know the blessing of a secure and stable relationship with you, where you love us and where we can be assured that after death for us is not hell but eternal life. Thank you for your good commands in your word as well. Thank you that your word shapes the way that we live, encourages us to see the world rightly and to chase the right things in this world. And Lord, we pray that we may be people who hear your word and keep it. Please help us to see that this is true blessing, to live in sync with the way that you have created us. To have those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, and to know the joy of living your way. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.